We're on verse 7. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible records for us in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 1, which is not another, but there, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a blessing to be here again tonight. And Father, as we continue on through Galatians and we look at this, there's many that have tried to pervert the gospel of Christ. And Father, there's many that are out teaching another gospel. And so much falseness going on in the world. And it doesn't surprise me that people would want to tear apart your word, the truths of your word, so that people won't know what's true and what's not. But Father, thank you for giving us the truth and never changing it, and so that we can know that we have the truth and we can stand on it and we can treasure it. So we just pray, Father, tonight as we have this time together, as we go through this scriptures, I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have a perverted gospel. People have heard me say for years that the different versions of the Bible, other than the King James, are a perverted gospel. They have taken the gospel and they've perverted it. They've tried to eliminate the deity of Christ or diminish it in some aspect. And so I call them perverted. They're perverted gospels. They're not the truth. They're not. People go, well, they contain some of the Word of God. Okay, so they contain some of it, but they don't contain all of it. If you would compare, you would find that there's many, many scriptures that are left out of the perversions of the gospel. It kind of is interesting to me because when you actually will study it, you'll look through them and you'll see how their numbering system numbers so that it stays with the rest of them in the King James. So if they like, say they eliminate verses 11 through 15, you'll have verse 10, and then you'll have verse 16 right next to it, because then they label them there. But there'll be total sections that are gone. And it's like, okay, why did they totally eliminate that section of the gospel? But continue on with the same numbering system so that you don't notice it when somebody says, turn to this page. But what happens when somebody says, turn to this chapter and verse, and you go there and it's not there? Wouldn't that raise a question? You would think it would raise a question. Well, what happened? Why did they take that out? But it's amazing how many people flock to those perverted gospels. And it's because they haven't been taught. They haven't been taught. I can tell you, we have people that have come through this church that have told me they had no idea why we use the King James Version of the Bible till I taught on it. They said what they were told was, here, this is the Bible you use. No explanation as to why, just this is the Bible you use. And then I taught on it. And they go, wow, now I know why. We're supposed to know why, aren't we? I mean, wouldn't it be good to know why there's a difference? But there was a perverted gospel. Some people would pervert the gospel of Christ. Hard to believe, right? But it happens all the time. Happens all the time. We want to believe that people are honest, right? We want to believe they are. But then they lie to us, and what happens? You know they're not honest. And if they'll lie to you on this item, then won't they lie to you on other items as well? So you got to be careful. I remember going into the Christian bookstore, which I think is a misnomer, but Christian bookstore, and they said, here's this English Standard Version of the Bible, and it's easier to understand. The NIV is easier to understand. What's wrong with the King James? Oh, that's just so hard to read. Why is it so hard to read? Well, because you were told it was too hard to read. You were told that the others are easier. Because that's what they're brainwashed into saying when they work there, is that this is a... No, it's... Folks, spend some time in it. It's not that difficult. But you got to spend some time in it. And then we go on to an accursed gospel in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. It says, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." It's amazing. You know, I'll tell you, there's a certain group out there, and they come to your door, and they tell you they have another gospel. This book says, let them be accursed. Right? I don't invite them in my house. They don't come to the porch anymore either, but that's their choice. But when they come to the house, I'd like to meet with them out on the porch, and then I say, this is what the Word of God says. Well, there's another gospel. No, this says, if anyone preaches another gospel, let them be accursed. Oh, well, that's there, but this is another revelation. No, it isn't. It's man's perversion of God's Word, is what it is. It's man trying to pervert what God put out there that was perfect. And so we have to be careful. But this word accursed here is the Greek word anathema, and literally means let him go to hell. Basically, I don't think we, as children of God, should be anywhere even remotely close to another gospel. We should shun it. We should call it out for what it is. I have to tell you, you know, when they show up at the doorstep and they have all kinds of time to do your laundry and wash your windows and mow your lawn and take out your trash and all that, and then you tell them that what they have is another gospel, let them be accursed, and all, they can't wait to get out of there because they've got so many things they got to go do. Wait a minute, you just had enough time to spend the whole day here when you first got here, and now all of a sudden you got to be gone? What happened? They don't want you convincing their trainee that what they're teaching is false. That's what it comes down to. And I don't have a problem letting them know when they're wrong. But it says, any man or angel who preaches any other gospel is to be accounted as just as accursed as his message. Yeah. The message is accursed, and the deliverer of that message is accursed. It's got no place in God's house. And it's amazing how many people will go and they'll spout out stuff that they have never even checked to see if it actually came from the Word of God, and they'll say, thus saith the Lord. If it doesn't come from God, don't say, thus saith the Lord. And yet, it's amazing how many people, if somebody stands in a pulpit and spouts out a bunch of stuff, they believe it is the gospel. That's crazy. That's why we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know when we hear this garbage that it's another gospel. And we can flee from it. Any new gospel is no true gospel and will send souls to hell. That's what happens. They come out with all these ideas of what you have to do to get saved, and it's contrary to this book. It needs to be thrown out. That's why when people tell me, what do you think I should do with this what you call a perversion of the Bible. Well, if it was me, I'd use it for fire starter. Because if it's not good for you, it's not good for anybody else. Really, you do that? If it's not good for you, why would you give it to somebody else? I wouldn't. What was the nature of this different, perverted, and damning false gospel to which the Galatians had turned? That works had something to do with your salvation. We know that salvation is totally from God. If you don't, I want to see you afterwards, because we're going to have a long discussion over the difference. Works are not part of our salvation. When Jesus hung on the cross, and we had this conversation, when he hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," it was complete. Anybody in this room was around back then? I didn't think so. So if it was finished back then it was finished now. So even if you didn't get saved till today, it was still finished. There was nothing to add to it. But that's what people do. It's amazing. Do you know that I would have a waiting list for people wanting to clean toilets if you thought you had to work your way to heaven? Just saying. They'd be lining up waiting so that they could work themselves to heaven. Do you think there'd be anything ever needed to be done at the church building if we had to work ourselves to heaven? No, because people would be knocking down my door trying to get on the list so they could be part of it. But that's wrong. I did joke one time when my brother said they have waiting lists at their church. And I said, well, yeah, because they teach a works-based salvation. I said, if I did that, there'd never be a job at the church that would go undone, because everybody would do it. In fact, they'd probably be fighting each other to be able to do it. And it's crazy. Because you can't do anything to earn your salvation. If you could, somebody needs to explain to me the cross. Why did Jesus die if we could work ourselves to heaven? It doesn't make any sense. And yet they teach it and people follow it. It's like, okay, I know there was a death of common sense, but please, somebody think. It's ridiculous. I mean, why would you... And I've come across people who actually read the King James Version of the Bible and still come up with this idea that they have to work for their salvation. I'm like, how did you get that out of there? What sections of which verses did you have to peel apart to put together to make it say what you wanted it to say? Because it doesn't say that. And thank God it doesn't. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking, did I work enough? Maybe I didn't work enough. Maybe I need to do some more. What happens if I was to die tonight and I didn't do enough work and I don't have time to finish anything? My mind would just be going, how much works do I have to do to make it? Then I wonder if when they think that that's what they have to do, which means they aren't trusting in Christ, which means they're not saved. So therefore, I wonder if when they take their last breath and they find out they're in hell, if they think, I must not have done enough good works. No, because they'll know the truth then. Amen. They'll know the truth then. Everybody will know the truth when they stand before Jesus Christ. There will be no miscommunication of the facts at that point. And so, it's amazing. And then Paul goes on to his source of authority for his gospel, his true gospel. You know, there's sometimes when you have to clarify things. Like, I clarify that I'm a born-again Christian, not just somebody who professes to be a Christian, but I'm a born-again Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ and God the Father. I am born again. Too many people want to be known as Christian because it seems to be the thing to be now. I remember groups out there that never wanted to be called Christian. In fact, if you mention Christian, I'm not a Christian. I'm a this or that or whatever. Okay, that's fine. But I'm a born-again Christian because now those groups who didn't want to be known as Christian now want to be known as Christians. So I'm a born-again Christian. I clarify. Paul's clarifying. He has the true gospel. Not just any gospel, but he has the true gospel. And where did it come from? He summarizes his past travels. He emphasizes, his emphasis is to point out that his message is directly from God. It's where it should come from, right? It's not from man, not even from the other apostles. It's directly from God. I tell people all the time. They'll come up and they'll say, that was a good message. Thank God. It's where the message comes from. You know, do you spend any time doing that? Yes, I spend a lot of time in this book. And ask my wife. I spend a lot of time in my office. I have lots of books in my library. I bring stuff, and I research stuff. You don't actually think I know all this Greek and Hebrew stuff, do you? When I share that with you, it's because I've looked it up and I've studied it and I figured it out, and then I try to practice how to say those words because I have enough trouble with anything that's not Smith or Jones. I mean, you got to get them real basic for me. You get these other things. And so I practice those things. And I still massacre them on time, from time to time, as you know. But at least I put forth the effort and dig this stuff out and figure it out. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. So we know. How are we going to know if it's true or if it's false? Unless we know the truth. You know, I remember when my sister worked at the bank and she did check processing and stuff. She said, you know, they train you how to look for the real thing. They don't train you to look for the counterfeit. They train you to look for the real. And then anything that doesn't look like the real is counterfeit. So if we know the real, then we'll be able to discern the counterfeit. Because we know it won't line up with this. Because it doesn't. So just study the real. And you don't have to worry about it. The gospel of grace is given by divine revelation. Paul's message was not for man. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." I have to tell you, when God called me to preach, one of the guys I spoke with said, "Do not preach to please the people. It won't happen. You will not please them all. There's no way you can. People are people. You're going to step on some toes. You're going to make some people angry and upset. You need to preach to please God." So that's why I say, don't tell me what I can and can't preach. That's God's job. And if you manage to take that over, if you missed this morning, I said he will not be dethroned. He cannot be dethroned. And he can't be voted out of office. So he's always going to be there. So if you figure out a way that you can override his word and what he's directed me, then let me know. I want to see that. I want to see what happened in the process. I want to see how you managed to get him to go along with you. It's not the way it works. God does not get on our side. We end up getting on his side. If we aren't on his side, then we're against him. It's that simple. But So the message was not for man. The message was God's word, and it needs to be preached, but it's to please God, not to please man. Now, if you enjoyed the message, praise God. If the message stepped on your toes, praise God. You must have needed it. You know, the old story, if your phone's ringing, answer it, right? If God's calling, don't leave him hanging. Answer the phone and do what he says. Then if Paul were trying to please men, he would not be pleasing Christ. And that's what it comes down to. There's too many, I'm going to use this term loosely, preachers trying to please men. As I said, and Brother Fred brought it out, people go to the conference that I go to in Texas and they tell me that they're voting back home to get rid of me because they don't like what I'm preaching. Well, if it lines up with this book, that's their problem. And God will deal with them. If you're not preaching according to this book, then you need to be replaced. Just saying. But if you're preaching, and every time he preached at the conference, he's preaching this book, and he's right on target with it. So, no, what the problem was, is they didn't like what he was preaching against. Because they like their sin. And you can't preach against my sin. You can preach against their sins, but not my sins. They're off limits. No, that's not the way it works. God says, preach the whole counsel. The whole book. Not bits and pieces. The whole book. Preach it. And so we need to preach it. Regardless if people get upset or not. And there's going to be some. I mean, I've been called just about everything but white by a lot of people because they know I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they even know I'm not going to water it down. When God says something's an abomination, I'm going to say, God says it's an abomination. And by the way, if God says it's an abomination, we should too. If God says it's sin, we should too. And so, I'm not here. God did not put me here to please everybody. He put me here to preach the gospel and to lead this church. So that's what I need to do. Paul's message was not from man. It wasn't for man and it wasn't from man. Galatians 1, 11 and 12, it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Didn't come from man. You know, there's a lot of people that they go to places and they'll be trained to teach and preach certain things. Better be in this book. Again, I'm not against education and stuff. Not against that at all. But when people are trying to indoctrinate you into something that's not in this book, you need to throw it out and get rid of it. And then reassess where you're at. Because it better line up with this book. Or we need to get rid of it. Paul's message was personally revealed to him by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. Best place you can learn. Best place you can learn is at the feet of Jesus. Get into this book and study it. Spend time with the Savior. It's the best thing you can do. Too many people want to just go say, well, this guy said this and this guy said that. What did God say? Doesn't matter what all these men said. What does God say? Now, if those men line up with the Word of God, great. But too many people are saying, well, this so-and-so said this, and I'm not finding it in there, but if they said it, it must be true. No. That means you're following after man instead of after God. make sure it lines up with this book. Well, like I said, I do a lot of studying, but that doesn't negate your responsibility to do some studying. We need to do that. And Paul's message was not from himself. Galatians 1:13 and 14, it says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Here Paul persecuted the church, consenting to the stoning of Stephen. Yeah. That's why I've said many times, let's start praying for these terrorists out there that they'd get saved. Because, we could put Saul of Tarsus in that group, right? As a terrorist? Yeah. But he got saved, and look what happened. God used him mightily. He was still a sinful man. Let's not put him on too high a pedestal, but somebody that, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to strive to be like him. He did some great things. God used him to pen many books in the Bible that we can have, and thank God for them. But it wasn't for him. He believed more fiercely in the law than the Judaizers. The law was necessary for salvation, was what he thought. What did I say earlier? You can't work yourself to heaven. No works you could do are necessary for salvation. But he was teaching that, yeah. How many in here is keeping the law? All of it. That's what I thought. We can't. The Bible tells us we can't. But somehow, we got to have something to show that we don't measure up. That we need a Savior. So we did. God gave us His book. Paul's message was not from Jerusalem. He was converted en route to Damascus. In Galatians 1:15 through 16, it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Yeah. God revealed it to him. What do you need? When God reveals something to you, do you need to go around and ask everybody else their opinion? No. No. I shared before, when God called me to preach, I didn't tell anyone. No one. Even my wife didn't know. She knew something was up. She kept asking me, "Something's up. You're acting different." "Oh, no, everything's fine." I didn't share with anybody, because I wanted to make sure it was from God. If I'd have conferred with people, I can tell you right now, if I'd have gone to my mother's, my wife will attest this, if I went over to my mother's and told her that God called me to preach, there wouldn't have been anyone on the face of planet Earth that wouldn't have heard her scream with joy that one of her sons was called to preach the gospel. I know that. Didn't talk to my mother. I didn't tell anybody till I was sure. And I was sure the first time. I just had to argue with God for a little bit because I didn't want to do it. I was terrified to stand up in front of people and talk. Terrified. But thank God, they didn't give up on me. And thank God I made the right choice to follow His calling in my life. I don't think we need to read the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, do we? Everybody here knows that story, I'm hoping. Okay, on the road to Damascus, and God met him and His life was miraculously changed. That's what happens when we get saved. Our lives are miraculously changed. We're no longer wanting to do what we used to do, even though we don't know everything, right? I mentioned that. We don't know everything there is to know about the Word of God when we get saved. We just know that we're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins. That's about all we know. Enough to be dangerous, right? But that's what we know. And thank God. Thank God we realize we need a Savior. That's what it takes. So I'm not going to go through that part, but then he spent 3 years in the Arabian desert alone with God. Now, there are some preachers that will tell you he went off to 4 years of Bible college. No, he didn't. He spent 3 years with God alone in the desert. I don't think he could have had a better teacher. I like learning from God. When God lays something on my heart and I get the Bible out and I start looking through it, I'm like, wow, this is good stuff. And I know it comes from God. So I like that. In Galatians 1:17a, it says, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia." Went to spend some time alone with God. God had some things he had to do with him, right? God has some things he has to do with all of us. I remember talking to Brother Buck back in the 90s. And he said, God will break you. Then he'll use you. And that's what has to happen. We have to be broken from what we think, what we want to do, who we think we are and all, and then God will use us. When we come to the realization who we really are, sinner saved by grace, as long as you've trusted Christ for Savior, you're a sinner saved by grace. If you haven't, then you're just a sinner, right? But we know who we are. When we get that in our head, and in our heart, that's who we are, and we need him, he'll use us. I got to tell you, there's a bunch of people out there that think they deserve to be in the office of pastor of a church, and that is not the case. We don't deserve anything but hell. That's what we deserve. Thank God he calls men to lead his churches, to preach his word, to equip the saints, so that we can all be out there as ambassadors for him. We need that. Acts 9:23-25 says, I jumped ahead. Went to be in Arabia, and then he next returned to Damascus in Galatians 1:17b, and returned again unto Damascus. In Acts 9:23-25, it says, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." Thank God for people who are willing to help out the preacher, right? Thank God. They took care of him. But he returned to Damascus. Afterwards, he returned to... Why? Because that's where God sent him. People go, "Well, why are you where you're at?" It's where God put me. I've said for years, if God didn't put you there, what are you doing there? Oh? I've talked to several preachers that are like, "Well, I'm just at this church until a better offer comes along." What? You're not there because God put you there? That's foreign to me, to think of a church as a stepping stone to something better. What's better? What could be better than being in the place God put you? I mean, It's like I've said, I don't know how many times I've said this, but Brother Ekno, missionary to lepers, safest place he could be. Because God called him to this. Right? Can you imagine if he wasn't called to be a missionary to lepers and then he went there anyway? What are you doing there? God didn't call you there. That's not a very safe place for you to be. But if God calls you there, then does God not know what he's doing? But, well, missionaries die all the time. That's God's business. But let's be doing what we're supposed to. Let's be where we're supposed to be. Because God has a plan. I don't know about you, but I like being part of the plan and not in the way of the plan. It's what God wants. It's what God wants. All right, we're going to end there since we're out of time again.